And ain't it good to be in the Lord's house?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Acts chapter 4. Amen. Just bear with me just for a few minutes. Go to verse 32. Verse number 32. Appreciate all of our visitors today. Amen. Amen. God bless you for being here. Again, how many's going to pray for us?
Amen.
Verse 32 of Acts chapter 4. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, listen now, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Then Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon all, as many as heard these things. You may be seated. May the good Lord add his blessings to the reading of the scripture. Amen. Now, the more wood you put on the fire this morning, the hotter the fire be. I want to say I appreciate Brother Travis for obeying the Spirit of the Lord this morning. He got on several thoughts, amen, that I was going to get on. Now, it seems like the enemy's trying to scatter my thoughts today. So I need you, amen, to pray that God will get me in good connection, amen. You say, preacher, you've not prayed. Oh, yeah, I prayed, amen. But let me tell you, where the presence of God is, amen, there's the enemy going to try, amen, to hinder, amen, and persuade other ways. Amen, just by the way of introduction, amen, I believe here in the book of Acts, and here in chapter number 4 and chapter number 5, of course, we see in partly of those chapters, amen, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. You've heard this preached, amen, many times of how that they held back part of the price of the land that they had sold and how that God killed them. And I'll get to that in just a few minutes. But here in the book of Acts in chapter number 2, we see that how the church, amen, was breathed upon there in chapter number 2. I believe that's when the day of Pentecost, amen, had arose. And I tell you what, you mentioned the word Pentecost around Baptist people, amen, and I'll tell you, some of them get a little bit jittery. But let me tell you something. We better have Pentecost in the Baptist. We better have Pentecost in the Free Will Baptist. Amen. I tell you, we need Pentecost. Somebody say amen right there. That's where God breathed, amen, upon, amen, glory to God, amen, the church. And I tell you, if there's ever a time we need God, amen, to breathe upon the church, I'm looking for God. How many wants the breath of God, amen? I want the breath of God, amen, to breathe upon the church. But not only that, Brother Keith, I want the breath of God, amen, to breathe upon me. Thank God I'm part of the church. Hey, I pastored enough, amen, I see enough, amen, we got people discouraged. We got people depressed. We got people, amen, that's just all being out of shape, amen, because of what's happened in the last several months. But I've got news for you. Amen. God is still God, and God's still on the throne. God still has all power. Amen. Oh, by the way, God's still answering prayers. Amen. And God still, amen, can see in Pentecost. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm depressed in my mind. Well, let me just say hallelujah. Get to the altar. No, by the way, don't let this virus keep you out of the altar, amen. I tell you what, I'm noticing this virus is keeping some of you out of the altar. Amen. God ain't pleased in that. Amen. I'll say it again. God ain't pleased in that, and God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Can I get a witness right there? I'd be scared to death not to come to this altar when God moved me to come to this altar. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm about to tar this mess anyway. Hey, ma'am, listen, this was the, hey, in chapter number 2, this was the infancy, amen, of the church. This was the church being birthed, amen. I mean, man, God, amen, the Holy Ghost came, Pentecost fell, amen, become all of one mind and one accord. At 3,000 got saved, amen, at one time. Of another 5,000, amen, at another time. I mean, man, it went from 12 to 8,000. Can I get a witness right there? You talk about church growth. You talk about church growth, amen. And this was probably just in a few weeks' time. You say, preacher, why don't that happen today? I tell you why. Amen, we ain't accepting and we ain't praying for Pentecost. Amen. I need help. Amen. I preached on Pentecost and revival. Amen. One Sunday before revival started. Amen. Glory to God. You know what you do when you call for revival? Hey, man, it's one sense saying you backslid. That's one way, amen, of saying the church is in a backslidden condition and we need to get... Boy, it got quiet on that. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking just like the man that walked out to service that day. Hey, man, looked at me and said, for your information, I ain't backslid. You know what that was? That's a pretty good indication he was sliding back. Because nobody in here is as close to God. I didn't say you was backslid to the point you was going to hell. There ain't nobody, amen, in here to the point that you can't move up a little bit closer to the Lord. All God people say it. You talk about real growth. You wait till we get 8,000 people saved, amen, in a matter of a month. Yeah, glory. Amen. That scares some of you today. We're going to put them. Amen. We'll find somewhere. Amen. Glory to God. We'll be building a building. We ain't got the money. Amen. Listen, that ain't faith. You step out on faith. My. Ain't God good? Hallelujah. Listen, hey, they had the apostles. Amen. They seen the signs. Amen. They seen the miracles. Hey, anytime, amen, listen, God starts doing something, let me tell you what, the devil will show up. I mean, when you get to where you want to try to say, I'm praying more, I'm going to pray more, you watch how hard it is for you to pray more. When you get to your life, amen, you start saying, I'm going to read more. You watch how the devil, amen, sticks his foot in there, amen, and tries to mess up your Bible reading. All God people said? I mean, listen, the more ministry you try to do, the harder you'll get fall. I mean, look how the devil, amen, has took, amen, this virus, amen, and has suppressed our ministry here at the church. Why, preacher, what it suppressed? Glory to God, you'd have already been out winning souls. Some of you would. Some of you had already, amen, been through that course. I need help right there, praise the Lord. Amen, you'd have been hurt, you'd have been excited, you'd have been stirred, and you were excited and stirred up about it. Amen, but now it ain't as strong as it was. You know why? Because you heard me preach about every Wednesday night on soul winning, and how we needed to get out there and knock those doors. You know, amen, that we as a church are responsible for this community. Amen. You say, oh, but preacher, what about Yancey Street? They are too. Amen. What about Clinchfield Baptist Church? They're responsible for this community. When you walk down this street right down here, is that Baldwin Avenue? No. What is this street right here? Matilda Avenue. When you walk down that street many years ago and I knocked on the door and a lady come to the door, it's either me or one of the somebody that's with us, amen, said, no, I think it was me. He said, now here's the comment. I've lived here for 20 years, 20 or 20 something years. He said, you're the only church that's knocked on my door. There's a church. Here's a church. Up there's a church. Across the block is a church. Right on up the road's another church. I need help. Amen. I need help. You know we're responsible. Ah, boy. I'm going to tell you what. Anytime God shows up, amen, and the Lord starts moving, the devil's going to be there too. You know what? It might sound a little bit maybe disturbing, but you know the closer you get to God, the closer you get to the devil. Yeah. Oh, how is that, preacher? The closer you get yourself to God is the closer you get to the devil. You know why? Hey, amen. Not that you're moving closer to the devil, but the devil's moving closer to you. Amen. Hey, somebody said, preacher of the devil. Somebody said, made a comment one time, the devil's already bound. One preacher said, well, if he's bound, he's chained to my leg. Because I have problems with him every day of my life. Amen. You know what? It's a constant battle. Hallelujah. Constantly, I'm fighting the devil. I'm fighting thoughts in my mind. I'm fighting him, amen, to get out of my mind, to get out of my thought. I need help this morning. Amen. Listen to me. The devil, amen, he'll show up. The devil uses intimidation to hinder God's people. The devil uses intimidation to hinder the church. You believe that? He's an intimidator. Let me tell you something. He'll try to intimidate the church to keep from doing its ministry, to keep from doing its job. I ain't got time to get into all of that. But let me just say, intimidation will never stop the church. The intimidation has never stopped the church. Amen. Amen. Listen, persecution has never stopped the church. I mean, listen, I'll say this, intimidation will not stop true believers. Amen. Listen, persecution, amen, in the Bible days when they persecuted the church, I mean, they suffered persecution, amen, but listen, it only made the church better. Listen, hey, persecution, I should only make you grow more in the Lord. Amen. I mean, listen, when the devil can't use intimidation, you know what else he'll do? He'll infiltrate the church. When the devil can't use intimidation to get to the church, he'll infiltrate the church. I learned a long time ago not to pray God seeing certain people to church. Young minister, I prayed, Lord, let that couple come. Lord, send them people to this church. I think I've prayed the devil in before. I'll be honest. I think I've prayed Satan himself into the church. So here's how I pray. When I see new people come and I see new people thinking about joining, I think, Lord, it'd be good to have them. Amen. It'd be good to see them join this church. But Lord, amen, hey, you let them join only if you think it's feasible. All God people say. Lord, you send them, amen. You do the sending. I ain't a praying. Lord, if it's your will, you send them. Amen. All God's people say it. Amen. He'll infiltrate the church when intimidation don't work. In other words, he gets into inward working in the church. The church, hey, if the devil can't destroy the church, amen, from the outside, you know where he's going to come? He's going to come inside. Through 20-some years of pastoring, I'm telling you something. I've seen the devil get in the church.
I've seen the enemy come in and infiltrate the church. Let me tell you something. If the devil had listened to the devil and let them intimidate them and let him infiltrate their life and their mind and their spirit, why, they wouldn't be room enough in this building with chairs set out all over this building. You couldn't fit them in this church building. Amen. You know why it's that way? It's because people, amen, are not submitting themselves to the Spirit of God. Amen. The inward working in the church. Amen. Listen, what messes it up is carnal Christians. Preacher, are there any such thing as that? What Brother Travis get on this morning? Amen. Listen, I may get to some of it in a minute. Carnal Christians in the church, you know what? Amen. Sin will start filling their heart. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira in chapter number 5, amen, they were good spiritual pretenders. Everybody with me?
Amen.
Now, as far as I know, amen, I believe Ananias, amen, through what study I've done, amen, I believe Ananias and Sapphiras, amen. One said that Ananias means grace, amen, and Sapphiras means beauty. In other words, amen, in other words, there's grace and beauty. I believe there's right with God. I believe, amen, they've done things right. Amen, I believe, how many say amen right there? I believe according to what study that I've done. But I'm going to say this, amen, Ananias and Sapphira was good spiritual pretenders. In other words, they were in some areas of their life, they were not serious.
Amen.
That's what our problem in our churches are today. Amen. There's some areas in people's lives that are not serious. I mean, sometimes the devil will infiltrate. In other words, he'll penetrate. He'll invade a Christian. He'll penetrate. Amen. He'll invade a church. Amen. And then they'll control the Christian. Amen. He'll control the church. I mean, sometimes we as Christians in churches, amen, we look the same. We act the same. But are not controlled by the Spirit of God. Sometimes, I don't care how saved you are, how close to God you live, amen, sometimes there's a point, amen, you might look it, you might act it, amen, but you allow the enemy to infiltrate.
Amen.
And it causes, amen, a reproach on God, a reproach on your spirituality, and a reproach on the church. I need help. You ain't as godly as you think you are. I hope you're saved. Amen. I mean, some people, amen, hey, allow, sometimes we as Christians, amen, we act and look the same, but we're not controlled by the Spirit of God. I mean, you said, so preacher, you're saying if you're saved, amen, that you can be controlled by the devil? You answer that question. How many saved?
Amen.
All right, how many's allowed the devil to infiltrate? Amen, and cause you to do things you know you shouldn't have done.
Amen.
I think that's what happened here to Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, listen, sometimes we as Christians and churches allow the flesh, we allow the devil. Let me tell you something, there's one thing you better be aware of is this old stinking flesh. This stuff right here, you know what? This stuff right here, it ain't going to heaven. Amen. It's going back to the dust. Amen, of this ground. Hallelujah. And I have, Brother Keith, I have trouble all the time controlling where my eyes are looking. Controlling what my ears are listening at. Amen. Some of you don't quit acting so spiritual. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, listen, you're the same way. And it's a battle. And the preacher can get up and preach against the sin. He can preach against your sin. Amen. And it ain't really your sin. It's what sin everybody else is doing. All God people saying. Amen. Some people are just good spiritual pretenders. You know, spiritual pretenders do more hurt than those that don't claim to be Christians. I'll say that again. Spiritual pretenders do more hurt than those that are lost. Amen. Don't even claim to live right. Don't even claim to go to church. Why do you think there's so many people out of this church this morning? Hey, I know this county's filled up with churches, but there are enough people in this county to fill up every church.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. You know why they ain't been, hey, you know why there's empty pews here this morning? Because some of you are spiritual pretenders. Some of you don't think twice, amen, to say little old four little words in front of people, amen, that you live beside. And you're thinking, why don't my family get saved? I'll tell you why. They see how you're pretending. Oh my, it's quiet. Getting a good, a few good amen. How you're, well, preacher, I'm not. Well, preacher, God didn't save his flesh. You just said that, yeah? Hey, man, but let me tell you, that does not give you. We may be set, Galatians tells us, we may be set at liberty, but we're not to use liberty for occasion to the flesh. Just because I'm saved and I'm born again on my way to glory doesn't give me liberty to go out here and commit sin. Christ ain't going back to the cross to be re-crucified. Oh God, people said? Amen. Spirit, hey, they do more hurt than those, amen. Listen, I'm talking about there's areas that people are not serious, amen, with God. How do you spot a spiritual pretender? How do you spot spiritual pretending in your own life? I want to be real, Brother Keith. I want to be, hey, I want to, which one of them, was it Pepsi or Coca-Cola said that's the real thing? How many Coca-Cola drinkers we got in here? How many Pepsi drinkers we got in here? Raise them Coca-Cola hands up. Raise them Pepsis up. Coke is the real thing. That's what they came out with, the slogan, wasn't it? The real thing. You know what I want to be for the Lord? It don't make no difference, amen, if my name's Jeff or if my name's Duncan. It don't make no difference, amen, if I've got free will in front of Baptists out there. It don't make no difference, amen, if Pentecostals wrote on the door, Church of God. Amen, listen, it don't make no difference, amen, but long as we got the blood of Jesus Christ supplied, hallelujah. Hey, church, I want to be the real thing, amen. And when people, hey, if I have to go by the way of the grave and they roll my casket up in this church, oh, by the way, don't take me to the funeral home, only but just to embalm and get my body ready. Bring me back to the house of God. Amen. When I'm laying up here and if I go by that way, amen, don't shed a tear for me. But I don't want you sitting back there in the congregation when the preacher up here preaching and them wondering. I don't want somebody to put somebody and say, go up there and see if that's Jeff Dunn. By the opposite that's being said behind the pulpit. Amen. They ain't nobody in this world can preach my funeral. Amen. They ain't nobody in this world can preach your funeral. Right. You show up a preacher, I plan on you standing if I go to preach my funeral. I'm honored. I thank God you got that kind of confidence. Amen. For to ask me to do that. I've got preacher friends that's looked at me. I've had preacher's wives that looked at me and said, you know you're preaching his funeral when he dies. I said, oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I've had preachers, preacher, you know you're preaching my funeral. Well, that's a great honor. It's an honor to be asked. But I want to tell you something. I've got news for you. I can get up and give them the word. But if you do, hey, if there's any preaching done to your funeral, you're preaching it right now. Preaching it now. How am I getting off of that? I ain't even on the sermon. I am. Hallelujah. I got about 16 minutes, 17. Amen. You believe that? I want to be real. Somebody says, okay, how do you spot spiritual pretending in your own life? Number one tonight, or this morning, I want you to notice a few things about Ananias and Sapphira. I want you to notice the envy they had. Or excuse me, the envy they hid. The envy they hid. Look at chapter 4, look at verse 36 and 7 again. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now I want you to look at verse number 1 of chapter number 5. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, listen, verse 2, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, does this sound familiar, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Amen. How many sees the contrast there? Here Barnabas takes and he lays it at the apostles' feet. Now, I'm just giving you a thought this morning. I mean, listen, was Ananias and Sapphira saying, all right, did you see what Barnabas done? All right, did you see? Why does he get all the recognition? Why does he? Now, I'm just ad-libbing just a little bit. I don't know this is what they thought, but could it be? Why does he get all the, glory to God, why did he get his? Why did he get a surname? I mean, could they be sitting back thinking all of that and saying, well, I believe that's what me and you'll do, Sapphira. I think we'll go and, hey, man, when we sell it, we'll take it, we'll offer it at the apostles' feet. Now, listen. I mean, in other words, we need to do that. Sometimes I think, hey, man, if they done that or thought that, sometimes I think our motives is wrong. Sometimes we don't come to church with the right motive. I asked you earlier, why are you here today? Why did you come to God's house today? I mean, man, some people find out that I'm not going to be here because of vacation. Do you know they won't come? I'll say that again. That's the reason I try not to announce when I'm not going to be here. Some of you are wondering right now, I wasn't here Wednesday night. Some of you probably looked this morning and thought, oh, the preacher's here. And I know what you're probably thinking tonight. Well, is he going to be back? Why don't you come find out? Amen. Then I know what some of you are thinking again. Well, what about Wednesday night? Come find out. You say, what about Sunday morning? What about next Sunday morning? You going to be here, preacher? I ain't going to tell you. All God's people said? Amen. I seen that growing up as a little boy in my former church. I mean, man, the pastor say he's going to be going out to Texas to see his mother and be gone a couple of weeks, and boy, they wouldn't be people come to church. Oh, yeah. You shouldn't have preacher religion. If you come to church just for the preacher to see you here, your motive's wrong. Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't come to church because I come to church. I mean, could Santa and I and Sapphira say, hey, I believe that's what I'll do. Oh, Barnabas, man, he gets all the recognition. I mean, man, we'll get us a surname. I don't know that he had, but could it have been? I mean, so, yeah, buddy, hey, man. So they went, sometimes our motives are wrong. Could it have been jealousy? Envy that they had? I mean, man, some people, amen, y'all get all bent out of shape. Well, he's got favorites up there in that church. He goes out and eats every Sunday night. He goes out and eats with the same people. Well, if you'll ask me to go out and eat with you, I'll go. You with me? And sometimes they don't ask me to go out. And me and my wife have to go and get something by ourselves. I had to put a little bit of guilt there. You shake hands with me? You ain't going to shake hands with me? Not now. Amen. I love you, Jack. Amen. I'm aggravating you, Jack. Amen. Jealousy and envy is rottenness to the bone. Amen. Hey! Hey, it's rottenness to the bone. You talk about jealousy and envy getting in a church. Amen. Pride. Boy, we got a lot of that today. Amen. Some wants all the attention. Well, preacher, you better tell me. You better brag on what I give the church. You better brag on what money I handed you to put an offering plate. You better brag on it or I ain't coming back. First of all, amen. Bye. Amen, but listen, if I get up here and brag, amen, on you, and if I end up, hey, if I do sound like bragging sometimes on what people has done, it ain't me bragging on them, it's me bragging on the Holy Ghost, amen, and God through that individual, amen. 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 Could it be that they had pride? Read Galatians chapter, let's just turn there. How many remember Galatians chapter 5? Amen. Let's just read. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit eternal life. Amen. Everybody with me? Right. Then he goes on down there. Hey, by the way, he gives us the work of the flesh before he gives us the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. You know what he's doing? He's giving us warning. Amen. Where he gives us warning. In other words, the works of the flesh, they don't mix with the works of the Spirit. Amen. The works of the flesh, amen, don't mix with the fruits of the Spirit. So if you got one of those works of the flesh that was just mentioned there, yeah, glory, you can't have the full fruit of the Spirit working in your life. All God's people say it. You know what all this does? If you're constantly envying things or people or positions, amen, or envying things, amen, in this life. And oh, by the way, amen, money ain't going to get you to glory. I ain't never seen to be in my life how people are over money. Money, money, money. And let me just tell you, if God allows and blesses you, amen, with a good job with money, amen, he expects you to pay your tenth and an offering above that to the house of God. And if you don't do that, you may say, well, I don't do it, preacher. That might be why you struggle to pay your light bill. Amen, or your house payment or your rent payment. Somebody help the preacher, amen. Sure enough, that didn't cost you anything extra. Amen. Listen, I'll just say, let me go on. Amen. We notice the envy, amen, that they hid. Not only that, but let's notice, amen, how they eliminate, amen, or not eliminate, the element, amen, that they hold. Oh, let's look at the element that they held. In verse number 2 of chapter 5, and kept back part of the price, his wife also been privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ananias and Sapphira, let me give you something. I always thought, just by reading that God killed them because they lied. But think about it. I don't believe that God killed them because they lied as much as he did, amen, because they pretended like they gave everything they had. Some of you never thought about that because I didn't get a whole lot of amens right there. Well, I hadn't either. Bible says they kept back part. Amen. Well, how did they present themselves when they went and laid it at the apostles' feet? Lord, here's all. Lord, I surrender all. I surrender all. And the whole time, They kept back this match.
Bless him, Lord.
How many is with me? I mean, listen, friend. Did God kill them because they lied? I believe that's part of it. Amen. He lied to the Holy Ghost. Or did God kill them because they pretended like, I laid it all at the apostles' feet. They ain't nobody knowed how. Hey, it doesn't say that anybody knew they held back part, but Ananias and Sapphira. I need help this morning. Amen. How many's going to help the preacher? Because they acted like they gave it all. Pretended like they did. You know what? Some people want to look more spiritual than they really are.
Amen.
Yeah, buddy. Some wants to look more spiritual than they really are.
Amen.
Boy, it's quiet in the house of God today. Amen. Did they pretend? Amen. Some people, boy, they put on to make people think, amen, there's something that they're not. How many's ever seen a put on?
Amen.
How many's ever seen a pretender? Boy, I've seen people, amen, they'll talk, I'm talking about their verbal speaking to me is one way. But boy, when they get off somewhere else, their verbal speaking is a different way.
Amen.
How are you today, Brother Lloyd? Hey, like that, Brother Lloyd. It's a beautiful day, ain't it, brother? God's good. Then when they're out somewhere else, well, how are you, Brother Lloyd? Hey, brother, how are you? Give me a fist bump, our brother. Hallelujah. God's good, ain't he? Thank you, Jesus. I mean, how many's ever seen people change their whole attitude?
Amen.
You know why? It's because it depends on who they're around.
Amen.
Glory to God. I mean, man, it depends on who they're around. Listen, you see Jeff Duncan here, you see the same Jeff Duncan at Walmart.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Boy, you got some pretenders. Some of them are hippocratomites. How many we got them? How many youth campers we got? Remember that message? Sister Jessica, amen, Helen, hallelujah. Years ago, Brother Richard Cole, you know what a hippocratomite is? Amen, that's somebody. How many's ever seen these, I don't know what to call them. They got them faces on a stick and they can put up different faces. Amen. How many's ever seen them things? I mean, man, you can make yourself depressed. You can make yourself look evil. You can make yourself look happy. I mean, man, you can just take. That's what a hippocratomite is. They change their faces. All God people saying? That's right, buddy. And you say, preacher, we got a lot of pretenders. The element that they held. Amen. Listen, did they pretend? In chapter 5 and verse number 2 and in verse number 9, look at verse number 9. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them, amen, which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Some people are all in to doing what's right around the right people. Around the right place, around the right crowd. Amen. Boy, I've seen people, man, they're followers instead of leaders. I need all the young people up here to look at me. I've seen too many young people. Listen, you need to be a leader instead of a follower. Some people are so, and they pretend. Listen, some people, I mean, if your kid, if your peers, if your girlfriend or your boyfriend, amen, or friends, or they're doing one way, you're right with them, man. You're over here doing that. But then when you're around your Christian friends, you're right over there doing that. You know what that's called? Amen. That's called a hippocratomite. Amen. That's called a pretender.
Amen.
And some of you adults need to straighten up on workplace. Yeah, man, on workplace ethics too. I mean, listen, you're still a Christian. If you're a Christian here, you ought to be a Christian at work.
Amen.
Amen. And you go out to eat and they don't want to bow their head and say grace over their food, say, excuse me. How many's ever been put to the test about saying your grace? How many's ever been put to the test? Boy, I have. I had the owner of a restaurant come over and sit down with me one day. I didn't know him that well, but he came, he started talking. They brought my food, and they, The one with the halo popped up on his shoulder, and then the one with the pitchfork picked up, jumped up on his shoulder. How many remember them old cartoons? Amen. You remember them? One was whispering this here. Go ahead and say your blessing. This and said, oh, it ain't going to matter. He's the owner of this restaurant. It ain't going to matter this time. Why, God understands. Few minutes, man, I battled listening to this one and listening to that, and he's just talking. Hey, man, I said, excuse me, I got to say my blessing. He said, preacher, he was the owner of this restaurant, and you cut him off? God's more important to me than an owner of a restaurant. Some of you adults need to quit laughing at them nasty jokes that pops up beside you. That's intended for the person beside you, but it's intended for you to hear too, because they're making sure you're there. All God's people said, it's quiet in God's house today, and it's 11:59. I got half a minute left, probably. You believe that? They're all in when they're at church. Oh, I'm all in it, preacher. I'm all behind you. I'm back in the church. I support the church. I'm all in. But when they're out there, it's a different story. Spiritual pretenders. You know what spiritual pretenders are? They're two-faced. Anybody know what two-faced is? Amen. In here, it's good. Out there, I'm with the crowd. Thirdly, let's notice the enemy that they harbor. Look at chapter 5, verse number 3. But Peter said unto Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now think about this. The enemy deceived Ananias and Sapphira. Don't think you can't be deceived. They were ignorant of what, amen. They were ignorant that they were being used by the enemy himself. Amen. Hey, glory to God. They were living so loosely, amen, and conspiring probably. I mean, it's sad when a professing Christian can't tell it's the devil using them to do what they're doing, or if it's the Lord wanting them to do something. That's sad. Be careful when you don't know the answer. Listen and say, God, is this you or the devil? You know what the Bible says? The brother said it this morning in his devotion. He said to try the spirits to know whether they're of God or not. It's sad, amen, that people, Christian people, amen, can't realize, and they're ignorant to the fact, amen, that they're being used by the devil to accomplish. I'm talking about Christian people. Being used by the devil to accomplish the devil's work. And they're ignorant to it. That's the reason it's important that we live close to the Lord, folks. It's important, amen, we don't live loose, amen. Be careful, amen. Listen, I don't want to be a tool for the devil to you. Satan filled his heart. If you take and fill up a glass, I can't take a container and a glass and fill that up at one time. It don't work that way, Sister Faye. I gotta take that container and I gotta slowly pour that in there till it fills it up. Did you notice, amen, what he said there? I don't think some of you got it. He said there, Satan filled thine heart. Why has Satan filled thine heart? It was a process. Yeah, I mean, they may have all good intentions, amen, but hey, did they get together and talk about it? It's a slow process. I mean, says there's things in our life sometimes that seep in, amen, that we shouldn't let seep into our life. They didn't realize they was being used by the devil. Who's being used by the devil? And God showed you this morning. God showed you being used by the devil. And some people are still ignorant and blinded to what the devils are doing in your life. Amen. Let me say this. Get to this altar and say, God, I don't want to be used by Satan. And I want to make sure that I am right with you. And God, help me, God, not be deceived like Ananias and Sapphira was. All God people said. Fourthly, I want you to notice the example that they highlighted. Listen, in verse number 4, the Bible says, while it remained was it not thine own? Let me give you a thought. Now here, the Holy Ghost was reminding Ananias and Sapphira, hey, look at verse 5 again. Or verse 4. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? In other words, that was your possession. That was your land. It's your possession. Listen. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Now, boy, think about that. Was he saying, you didn't have to bring it all to me? It was your own. You didn't have to bring it all to me. All you just needed to do, if you was going to keep back part, come and tell me. You was going to keep back part. But instead of doing it, what did they do? They lied about it. I don't think some of you are getting it, amen. But that's all right. Listen, hey, you didn't have to give it all. Just be honest in your pay. Just be honest, amen, and do your thing. It is in your own power. Be careful what you conceive in your heart. Be careful what you conceive in your heart. Listen, your heart's a birthing ground. Did you know that? I mean, listen, your heart is it's a seed ground. By the way, something's going to grow out of your heart, and it depends, amen, on what seed is sown there. So you better be careful what is conceived in your heart. He said, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? Get your guitar ready, brother, if you don't mind. I appreciate that. We're going to do an altar call. You know the story? Ananias lied. Kept back part, lied. Pretended. He gave it all. That's more or less what he done. He pretended that he gave it all. You ever thought about it? I hadn't until this week. Amen to yesterday. So what did the Holy Ghost God do? Slew him. He fell dead when he lied, when he wasn't honest, because he was pretending. His wife wasn't with him. Sister Amber, Brother Stacy is your husband, and I know you love him. Bible says he's the head of the home. That's not to belittle her. And that's the same way with everybody in here. All God's people say it. Amen. But that doesn't mean, amen, that doesn't mean for him to mistreat her. That's right. Amen. And listen, if he was a lost man, amen, it doesn't mean that she has to go to hell because he's going to hell. That's right. All God's people say it. That's right. Ananias lied to the Holy Ghost. They had some kind of agreement there because she wasn't there, and she came up later, didn't know what had happened to Ananias. Sapphira just went and more or less was asked the same question, and more or less speaking, amen. And of course, what did she do? She lied, and they said, hey, Holy Ghost said the ones that carried your husband out and buried, they're on their way to get you. And what I'm trying to tell you, Amber, you love your husband, and you're to be in subjection unto him, but you're to be under subjection unto God first and foremost in your life. Amen. You that's got spouses, amen, that are not saved, you love that spouse. You pray for that spouse. And thank God, sometimes, amen, you don't live in the best environment because, amen, you are Christian. They're not a Christian. I've seen people suffer, and sometimes the more you pray, sometimes the more you pray for that lost spouse, amen, you got to be willing to take the heat that comes along with those prayers being heaped on your loved one, all God's people say. Sure enough, amen. But you're to live that example. Now listen, Ananias, he should have just been forefront, but because he wasn't and his wife followed, there's people following you, friend. They're watching you, and they see how you act around your loved ones and your family. I mean, my little old grandson, I mean, I was teasing with him yesterday, or I believe it was yesterday. And he said something, and I made a comment, and I said, "You want to just go and preach for me?" I said, "Well, you go preach for me." Now, I don't use that lightly around my grandson. It was a little light then, but I didn't stop there. And son, Evan looked at me, and he said, he paused, Brother Keith, and it's like, "Well, man," I thought, "what's he going to say? What if he says, 'Yeah, I'll go preach for you'?" And he meant it, because he was in deep thought, Brother Keith. I mean, it really got him to thinking, and I thought, "Huh, is he really thinking?" He said, "Well, I can't preach." And I said, "That's right, son." And now I'm talking about after a deep thought, brother, and looking at me, and I'm thinking, man, he's contemplating, I'm going to preach for my pawpaw. Amen. But then he said, "I can't preach," or something like that, Brother Travis. And I said, "That's right, son." I said, "Only God can tell you to preach." Right. Only God. I didn't leave it lightly, and I don't kid with them much about it. All God people say, because, hey, I don't want the thought left in his mind, "When I get old, I can preach." Right. No, that don't mean when you get old, you can preach. Right. You might not have the calling of God on you to preach. We got too many coming out of these seminaries. We got too many coming out of these seminaries. Now, ain't nothing wrong with schooling, but listen, these young boys go to seminary, amen, and they think, "Man, I get done, I'm going to get me a church, I'm going to get me a pastorate job, and I'm going to have it made." They got another thought coming. First of all, if they don't have the anointing of God and the Holy Spirit on their life, amen, they might get up there and get a paycheck, but they ain't going to have no power in their life. Amen. All God people said? Had a preacher tell me one time, said, "Brother Jeff," I said, where do you go to college? Where'd you go to school?" I said, "Well, brother," I said, I didn't go to seminary. I said, "God called me. I felt the call." And I had one asking me another time, where'd I go to seminary? I said, "On my knees. God called me, and I just hit my knee." Listen, that's the greatest college they are. Right. Is getting on your knees before God and saying, "God, I don't understand it. And I don't know what to preach today. But God, I know you're gonna give me something." That's right. Amen. Everybody with me? Now that ain't popular preaching in most of your churches today. A lot of churches today, you got to have big, long resumes. I mean, you've got to have all of that. And listen, I believe the Bible says to know them which labor among you. You got to know who stands before you. Don't you misunderstand me. And I'm not knocking college. Matter of fact, that one preacher looked at me and said, "Well, Brother Jeff," said, "God can use a sharp axe better than he can a dull one." Right. Now, I could have took that a couple different ways. I was thinking, okay, I must be dull. But I think he was trying to help me. I've had great men of God, amen, great pastors, amen, look at me and say, "Brother Jeff," when I first started, Brother Keith, they'd look at me, they'd take me in their office. I mean, big church, take me in their office and say, "Brother Jeff, if you don't get in that and you don't study that," he said, "you'll preach the same thing over and over and over, and never give fresh meat to your people." Now, you hear me give you things over and over in illustrations and things, but let me tell you something. Amen. You know you get fresh things from this preacher. I don't preach you the same message every time I get it. All God people say it. Don't be a pretender. Let's all stand to our feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed.